Well, good morning to you all. Glad you're here today. Thanks for coming. Those of you who are watching online, we welcome you. If you've stumbled across our site looking for a different Emmanuel Baptist Church in the country, stay with us today. Just enjoy our worship service and, you know, watch them next week, whatever. No, we're glad you're all here. And we sing about, we're free in the grace of God. You know, today I just want, if you're new to the gospel, if nobody's ever told you that the God of all creation loves you, I want you to know the God of all creation loves you. And he has your life in his hands. He sent his son Jesus to die as a payment for your sin and for mine and for all of us, right? And we sing about the grace of God because that's the gospel. God says to you today, hey, I'm willing to forgive you of all. Just turn to me. Turn to me and confess your sin. Put your trust in me. And we hope that that's a message that the Holy Spirit will stir you to come to Jesus, right? Come to Jesus. Well, we're going to be looking in the Bible today. I meant to say that along with what I was saying. And there's a Bible in the pew in front of you. If you've never used a Bible before, we don't expect you to know where in the world you're going in there. So you feel free to watch the person which way they turn in. We're going to be in the letter of James that he writes to the church. I've always liked the actor Michael Keaton. I don't know how many of you follow him. I don't know what age bracket no longer followed or watched Michael Keaton. I haven't watched any of his newest movies, I guess. But he was my favorite Batman. 1989, he was, you know, I just liked, he's my favorite. You could have a different one. But I like him as an actor because not only in his lead roles, but in his supporting roles, I've always enjoyed him. In one of those supporting roles, he's a New York Police Department captain. A significant role. Captain in the New York Police Department. But he also has a side job as an assistant manager at Bed Bath & Beyond. And it's an action comedy, you know, but I love it because he's got one of those scenes where he's, you know, a little pep talk to his Bed Bath & Beyond employees, says to him, hey guys, I want you to know the new bath mats are in. And it's a comedy, so all the employees are like, the new bath mats, yeah, and they're high-fiving each other, the new bath mats are in, and he goes, and another thing, we have a serial killer on the loose in the neighborhood. And they're all like, what? And he realized it. He goes, oh, hang on a second. Sorry. That's my other job. Don't worry about that. You know, forget I said that. Just ignore that. And anyhow, I got to get out of here, but be safe out there. And off he goes. And the employees are kind of left like, do we even leave the break room? You know, right? It's hard for us to stay excited about your first words about the new bath mats when your other words were about a serial killer who's on the loose. Like, it's right. You know, and to me, it was a good, funny side plot for a movie, right? The problem is it's not a side plot in our lives. It's often true regarding the words that come out of our mouth. Somebody may say, I want to be enjoying the pleasant, loving words you spoke to me, but it's hard that they are either followed by or, harsh, ripping words that tore my heart out, right? You know, and it's what James addresses in his letter that we're going to see today. He says in James chapter 3 and verse 10, from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. We're going to see today, I hope we will, what I certainly, the Lord pounds home to me that the problem that this mouth of mine is still has a time-sharing tongue in it that is words of blessing and words of you know, that negative or whatever that may come out. And we want to ask the Lord to just take us further on the journey. Let us see the hope of his power in us to make a difference with our time-sharing tongue. So let's pray. Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And every one of us is in a different spot in our journey, Lord, but we ask you together today, help us focus on our tongue and what it reveals. And may we be a little different as we leave here, we ask, because of your power, in the name of Jesus. Amen. James begins talking about the power of the tongue. Now, I think, this isn't the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I think if James were writing today, there might be a parenthesis in here. By the way, you also need to apply this to the words that you text someone or put on social media. Pay attention to their effect, right? But here he's going to talk about the tongue. The power of the tongue is the first thing we want to see. We read in James 3 and verse 1, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." Why? Because you're just talking a lot more. "For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things." The power of the tongue. James is a lot like his half-brother Jesus in his, teaching style. If you remember, Jesus would do what? "Hey, look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds in the air. Look at the wind. You don't know where it comes from. Look at those sheep without a shepherd." And James is the same way. Whether Joseph spoke that way in their household or whether he just watched Jesus, he uses a lot of word pictures in his letter, and he uses three of them in this aspect with the tongue. The first one is about a horse. Verse 3, right? A horse. I was reading that the Olympic record for a human being lifting weight overhead is 588 pounds. And if you need this for the test, Lasha Talakhadze in 2021 did it from the country of Georgia. Almost 600 pounds. And one writer said, "We could put that 600 pounds on the back of a horse and he can handle it easily. He can sprint a quarter mile in 23 seconds with that on his back. Yet you put a bit in its mouth and a young child who knows how to handle it can control the horse at will." James says, look at the size of a horse, strong beast. Look at the size of the bit and understand that little bit can control the large beast. Then he gives another picture. He refers to what in verse 4? The ships. Look at the ships also. And he's not talking about their little boats. He's talking about large sailing vessels. He says there, though they are so great, driven by strong winds. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts chapter 27, Acts 27 and verse 37, Paul is on a ship, one of those kind of ships. And there are 276 people on board with him. And it's not a ferry where they're all just standing side by side for, across the channel. They're out there on that ship for several weeks with all their supplies. So imagine a vessel, a sailing vessel that can have people, 276 people on it with supplies. It's a large ship. And Paul's saying, really, the rudder compared to the ship, and yet the rudder controls the large ship. It controls where it's going. And what does he say in verse 5? So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. The bit can turn a horse. The rudder can turn a ship. The tongue can turn a life. In a moment of time, and we see it in our, savage culture, with people, you know, everything being filmed and nothing getting away, you know, in a moment, someone can reveal their heart and their life with their tongue on the loose, right? You know, with their tongue just revealing what's really in their heart. You know, those of you who are Philadelphia Eagles fans like myself, some of you remember back to 2005. Now, some of you would say, I'm an Eagles fan, but I don't remember then. But on August the 10th of 2005, we had a very unique display that day. Some of you who are real Eagles fans may go, I know exactly where it's going. Because the year, with the Eagles the year before had lost the Super Bowl. And we were all singing a tune that year. T-O-T-O, T-O-T-O, T-O-T-O. Because Terrell Owens, we call him T-O. And he had a great year with Donovan McNabb. And after the Super Bowl, it all fell apart. Because just the backbiting and whatnot. And so T.O., in that training camp, basically Andy Reid said, look, you go home. And he sent him to his multi-million dollar home in Morristown, New Jersey, to get away from the team. T.O. decided, okay, you're putting me out there. Well, I'm going to be the center of attention. And so T.O. decided to bring his exercise equipment out into his driveway then and take off his shirt and work out. Somehow there just happened to be about a dozen Philadelphia sports media people there in his driveway filming him. And I'm sure his neighbors were absolutely delighted by the whole thing, right? But it was what? It was T.O. showing what? Oh, you guys are at camp without me. Well, I'm going to put on a display here, but that it revealed that his heart wanted attention, right? Sometimes I have to remind myself that my T.O. is on display. T.O. being 2 ounces. And yes, that's how much my tongue weighs, and yours does as well. We may be a little bit, but basically the human tongue is 2 ounces. My T.O. puts my life on display sometimes. Sometimes we're just, wow, it's out there for all to see what comes out of our mouth. Why? Because James knows what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said, yeah, listen to what people say, because lots of times it's going to reveal what? What's coming from inside. Matthew 15 and verse 18, Jesus said, the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. You know, in those moments where it just pours out of us and allows everyone to see where our heart has been, what we're focused on. The power of your tongue, it displays your life, but it can also turn other lives. And that comes with wonderful potential. And that's the second thing we see, from the power of the tongue to the potential of the tongue. Because this little 2 ounce, tongue inside of me can truly be a blessing. James says in chapter 3 and verse 10, from the same mouth come both blessing. We can use this tongue in wonderful ways. If you've ever read through the book of Proverbs, you know there's a lot to be said in there about what comes out of your mouth, what words proceed from your tongue, and how they can impact other people. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones, right? You know, write some of these verses down because, you know, somebody's, you know, just killing you with their words. Nothing angry people love more than you giving them scripture back while they're, you know, I'm being sarcastic there, right? But to lock these words in more for ourselves. Pleasant words are a honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul and healing to the bones of people in your life. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Whew. Proverbs 31, we're reading about a woman who's such a blessing to her family and friends. Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Whew. Listen, your tongue, your words have the ability to lift somebody off the floor, to raise somebody up, to raise up their body, soul, and spirit. There's power in the tongue. I know that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is not a real living human person, but I'll tell you what, that's one of my favorite scenes at Christmas time, is when Clarice leans in and says, "I think you're cute." And he says, "She thinks I'm cute, woo!" And man, oh, there he goes, soaring through the sky. Maybe because I relate to him that, boy, those kind of words, you know, they just, whoa, can make your spirit soar, right? When somebody raises you up with such words, your words can, as James says, the tongue can control the body. Your words can truly bring somebody peace, bring somebody security, bring somebody confidence. It can raise someone up out of despondency and doubt. I like the Willie Nelson song. I don't know how many Willie Nelson fans are out there, but he sings, "You were always on my mind." You know, "You were always on my mind." Beautiful. Wonderful when he sings it and the person like, oh, that's beautiful. Except the song's about how he has failed to sing it enough. If you know the lyrics, he says, "Maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely, lonely times. I guess I never told you I'm so happy that you're mine. The little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. But you were always on my mind. You were always on my mind." And that's wonderful, Willie. Thank you for singing that to me. But why didn't you sing it here and here and here, right? That's what he's confessing in the song. "You were on my mind. I didn't take the time," right? And the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians, listen, stop and consider what the Proverbs say. Stop and consider the potential of your tongue. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification," building up according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So I can never correct my child. I can never tell them what they did was wrong. Yeah, speak the truth in love, he says elsewhere. Sure, right? The difference between saying to your child, "Honey, your room is a mess, and you're a slob," right? You know, the one, you identified the person as something negative. The other, you pointed to the problem, right? But what I mean is the potential that comes if you do take the time, and it doesn't take a lot of time, to tell your spouse, to tell your child, to tell your parent, to tell your friend, "Hey, by the way, I'm so happy that you're mine. I'm so happy that you're in my life." To let the potential of the tongue, and we have to make ourselves remember that, because we will be reminded that we don't have to make ourselves remember how to tear someone down. That'll just come out naturally, right? What I mean is that aspect of the old nature, the sinful nature that has our tongue loaded with ammunition, you know, ready for the battle. We need to remember the potential of building up a life, because we're certainly going to see the third thing, which is the poison of the tongue. The power of the tongue to turn a life, the potential to raise it up, the poison to do what? Just tear it down. James uses a third picture here about a forest fire. Verse 5, "So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. That doesn't mean, oh, I let out those words, I'm going to hell. That's not what that means. If you've come to Christ and you've put your faith in him and received his forgiveness, you've become his child, that's eternal. You're going to be with the Lord. But it's talking about the fact, be aware that hell, Satan, ignites those fires of the tongue, right? And he explains just how vicious it can be. We can control the beasts and the birds, the reptiles, verse 7. But the tongue, right? Nobody has tamed the tongue in the human race. Verse 8, no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. A forest fire. In the ancient world, it was one of the most alarming things. They didn't have the ability to transport water and chemicals, you know, things that we might have to deal with fires. And so when somebody said fire, it's one of the most alarming things in their lives. Fire! And that's what James is saying. The tongue is on the loose. Your TO is out there exercising in the driveway or at work or wherever it may be. Be alarmed. October 8th, 1871. I don't remember it, obviously. But from Peshtigo, Wisconsin, any of you historians, was railroad workers were clearing some land. They wouldn't be allowed to do it with today's codes because it was during a drought and there were winds whipping up to 100 miles per hour. But they were clearing land and a spark lit a small wildfire. Well, in minutes, it quickly created the deadliest fire in American history. The town of Peshtigo had 1,600 people in it. By the end of the night, half of them had died in the fire, 800 of them. It killed 2,400 people as it spread to surrounding communities, right? But I only said it to this person. I had no idea. That's the power of the forest fire tongue. We saw in Proverbs the beauty of the tongue. We see in Proverbs what it can do, right? Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, right? Say, I say that. Maybe you can think of times you've done it or you've felt it. Oh, right? The thrusts of those words coming at you. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27, a worthless man digs up evil while his words are like scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife and a slanderer separates intimate friends. And that's why James says the tongue is full of deadly poison. I remember, I have a memory of probably the first time that at least maybe I've gone over it enough in my life. It's the time in my life where I look back when I first really became aware of the power, the poison of my words. I was in third grade, and I still regret it when I think about it. I was in third grade. I liked a girl named Frances Mulholland. I wasn't at the time thinking boyfriend, girlfriend, that kind of thing. I knew I liked being around her. I liked her smile. I liked that she laughed at everything I did, right? Or, you know, I liked that we, and so one day she said, would you like to come over at my house and play after school? And I did. I went over to Frances Mulholland's house. She lived on Holly Avenue. If anybody here grew up in the 60s on Holly Avenue, you may have known her. But I remember playing in the backyard and, we were having a good time. And one of my brothers, I'm not sure, I'm not going to say it was Dan, but one of my brothers, might have been Leo, it was one of my older brothers. They came riding by on their bicycles with a friend. And they saw us. And I heard them saying, Vincent loves Frances, Vincent loves Frances. Oh, get out of here, you know. I had rode my bike over or whatever, and I think they saw my bike on her front lawn. And I thought they had left, but then it didn't bother her at all. She just kept on playing, right? But then they swung back around, and they were kind of riding, doing a circle in front of the house. Vincent and Frances sitting in the tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. That was our, whatever, back then. I don't know if it's still an annoying song. But you know, and I ran out the driveway and I said, "You guys get out of here." And they, "You love Frances?" I said, "No, I don't. I think she's so ugly." And she had followed me out the driveway. Yeah. You can throw things at me if you want, because I still think I remember looking at her, seeing, and her smile just vanished into tears, and she ran into the house. And I gotta tell you, everything inside of me wanted to take it back. I know I'm not the only one who's ever been there, right? Everything, can I catch those words? But you can't, and I couldn't, and I had wounded a life. You may say, "Hey, get over it, man. You were in third grade. Like, it's okay." Except I have six granddaughters. And if some rotten, lousy Vincent McDonald, they better not say anything in front of me that wounds my granddaughters, right? I think, oh my goodness, and the power of words to crush. And I want to say to you, that day I decided never again to say a word that hurt anybody. You know what? I couldn't. I can't say that. Because James says, what? No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. He's not saying, go ahead and just curse everybody out and rip people apart and say, hey, it's scriptural. You know, that's not what he's saying. He's saying to us in our old human self, that's where we are, our powerful tongue that's capable with the potential of lifting someone up, it also can be so poisoned with degrading profanity and vicious slander and careless gossip and brutal words. Years ago, I remember hearing a song by a Christian writer, Scott Wesley Brown, called Love One Another, which he calls us to, but he starts out with a verse, "The rumors you've been telling me are really kind of sad. The problem with the grapevine is most of the grapes are bad. The way I've seen you use your tongue is really quite a shame. How large a fire is started by one small and tiny flame." There's words that have come out of me through the years that I can see the face of the other person and can't get them back. But there's help. There's hope in Jesus as we see the presence of the tongue tamer. From the power of the tongue, the potential of the tongue to lift up, the poison of the tongue to tear down, but the presence of the tongue tamer. We read it there when we look at verse 11. Where he says, "Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." What's he talking about? There's a source and what it produces. The source without Jesus is my sinful heart. And boy. Yeah, there's a lot of unsafe. There's a lot of people who don't believe in God who say nice, uplifting things and control their tongue or whatever. But what he's saying is that time-sharing aspect of the tongue, when we come to Jesus, Jesus brings something different to us, right? In John chapter 4, Jesus says to the woman at the well, "The water we're drinking, you know, is one thing, but the water I give brings a new spring that wells up inside of somebody." So now I have the spring of Jesus in me that can produce the fresh water, that can lift up. In other words, Jesus can make a difference. Paul says in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is this, what the Holy Spirit can produce in your life to be different, right? And here, the fig tree, right? When you have the fruit of the Spirit, it's going to produce the right fruit, right? How do we journey through that? Well, the first thing I think is you got to pray about it. Psalm 141, be honest and pray about it. In Psalm 141, that's what David does. He literally takes it to the Lord. Psalm 141, verse 3, Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. David says, God, I know that my tongue is a time-sharing tongue. And I know part of that, it's bringing out curse, poison. Lord, God, I'm asking you, guard the words of my mouth. Pray about it. Ask God and open your life in surrender to the Holy Spirit, because what does Paul say to the Ephesians? In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, he says to us in verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, if you've ever heard a drunk person talking, a lot of times they're going to be like, I didn't mean that. I didn't know what I was saying. I was drunk. Paul says, well, no, you're supposed to be drunk with the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be filled with the Spirit so that you do know what you're saying. Filled with the Spirit so that you're focused on turning that timeshare into a more permanent residence for the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit turn your tongue. Listen, we're not all the same, but we all wrestle with this time-sharing tongue. But God says, I can make a difference. You just have to come to me in prayer. Ask for my guidance. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. It takes an intentional focus to say, Lord, let my tongue be a blessing. Starts at home and beyond. Let my tongue be a blessing, Lord, and help me to stop the poison. Lord, let the time-sharing tongue of mine start to lean much more on the blessing side than on the side of pain and suffering. Let's pray. Lord God, you know our hearts. You know each one of us. You know if there's somebody sitting here right now, just they know what they unleashed in the car on the way over or whatever. Thank you that you forgive. Thank you that if we confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive us and cleanse us. Give us the grace to forgive others for the words that have wounded us. Give us the grace to love in a way that does not take into account a wrong suffered. But Lord, give us that movement of your Holy Spirit that lets the words of our mouth bring healing, life, beauty, joy, the message of the gospel. Let our lips praise you, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.